According to the World Happiness Report, Sweden is the world's fourth happiest country. At the same time, there are reports that Swedes seem to be feeling worse and worse. Dagens Nyheter, a local newspaper, has written that almost 1.2 million Swedes are taking antidepressant medication, which is an increase of almost 44% in 10 years. In 2020, according to an organization called OECD, 30% of Swedes had depression or depressive syndrome. The Swedish Agency for Youth and Civil Society Affairs reported in 2023 that 60% of young people aged 16 to 24 report that they have anxiety, distress, or worry. How can a country be described as one of the happiest and unhappiest at the same time? It seems as if the World Happiness Report is more tied to material and physical health than how people actually feel. Another study that includes 22 countries shows that 50% of all young adults report that they lack meaning and purpose in their lives. How is it with you? Are you pleased with how your life is? Do you have joy? How do you deal with suffering, difficulties, illness, bad news? Do you have meaning and purpose in life that helps you get through no matter what happens in life? Today we will meet people who lived in a completely different world and time from the society we live in. People who are at the bottom of society in an occupied country that looked very dark. But then something happens that will flip upside down. Not only their lives, but also the entire history of the world that offers us today hope, meaning, purpose, and a joy that cannot be taken away. You're welcome to take a trip with me just over 2,000 years back in time. It's night. And we are outside Bethlehem, where some shepherds take turns guarding their sheep during the night. And please go with me to Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, starting in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful text. We pray that you would bring it alive to us in our hearts. Pray that it wouldn't simply stop in our minds, but that our life would be changed by this truth. That you would continue to help us to see how wonderful it is that our Savior has come, and how you continue to work in our lives. Speak to us and do your work in our lives for your glory. Imagine if you were one of these shepherds. You are one of the simplest and most humble people. You're out in the wilderness, and it's pitch black. No street lights. No flashlights. The Lord shines around you. The glory of the Lord being revealed in this way is something that has only happened on a few occasions in history. How would you have reacted? Probably just like the shepherds did. You would have been terrified. We're going to notice three things in our text. First, what about the angel's message? Second, why is it so important? And then third, how the shepherds responded and how we should respond to this. So first, what? What is the angel's message? Imagine, you stand there, frozen with fear, and the angel says, in verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people." What would you think if you were there? Maybe you have the wrong address. Jerusalem is over there. I'm not reputable. I'm no king. I'm not a priest or a prophet. And I'm certainly not a journalist for the Jerusalem newspaper. Isn't it interesting that the angel comes to simple people to show that he brings good news? Not just for a political or religious elite, but it's a message of joy for all people. Good news for all who will receive it. And it is also certainly good news for us today. It doesn't matter how old or young you are, your social rank. Does it matter how well you have succeeded or not in school or in your profession? Does it matter how strong or weak or your reputation? The angels bring here a message of joy that I would definitely like to claim is the answer to the emptiness, the meaninglessness, and lack of purpose and joy that we see in society in Sweden today. You are not here in this world by chance. There is a meaning, a purpose, and a joy available that cannot be taken away. So why is this good news of great joy for the shepherds? Why is this good news for you and for me? Why are we offered this great joy? In verse 11, today a Savior has been born to you in the city of David. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Imagine again the situation of the shepherds there in a field outside Bethlehem. The country is occupied by enemies, the Romans. Most of the shepherds are probably in poverty as hired shepherds. It's not just dark all around because it's nighttime. The situation seems hopeless, to say the least, during occupation. And as Jews, they have read the Old Testament, and now the sky is illuminated by the glory of God, and an angel comes and tells all this. They get to witness what the Jews have been waiting for more than 1,000 years. Today, a Savior has been born to you in the city of David. He is the Messiah, the Lord. They had read about the prophecy in Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And here the angel says, it has happened. The ruler has been born today for you. Not just for the elite, and not just for those there and then. He has been born for you who are here today, and his origin is before time, from the days of eternity. He is described with three words: Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Let's go backwards in the text. The Gospel of Luke has already spoken of the Lord in several places. In Luke chapter 1, the Lord has already been identified with God, as we see in verses 17 and 76, excuse me. Here it is clear in the context that the Lord refers to the name of God, God himself who became a man. Incredible. What's more, he is described as Christ, which is the Greek translation of Messiah, which means the Anointed One. The Jews, since the time of the Old Testament, have been for the promised Anointed King, the Messiah. And now, he was here. The angel's message made it impossible for the shepherds to be mistaken. This was supernatural. God himself, the Messiah, the promised King, had come to his people. During this Advent season, we will have 4 sermons based on each verse from the song we just sang, Exult in the Savior's Birth. Rejoice over the birth of the Savior. Each verse in the song is based on different Bible texts. And today, we'll look at The first verse of the song, which is about Luke 2, 8 to 20. And in 2 weeks, we'll hear a sermon from Isaiah chapter 9, 6 to 7. And it's about how Jesus comes to a people in darkness and anguish to give them hope and joy. Here, we get the wonderful description of the Messiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The King, the Messiah God, has arrived. The one the prophets testified about has come. Absolutely amazing. The people's wait was over. The one about whom the puzzle pieces with all the promises and prophecies in the Old Testament fit together. The one who, in 2 Corinthians, speaks of as all the promises of God have found their yes in him. Therefore, they also have their amen through him, so that God may be glorified through us. There before their eyes, all this is told. But there is one important thing we have not yet mentioned. Verse 11. Today, a Savior has been born to you in the city of David. He is the Messiah. He is not only the promised Messiah and the Lord God Himself, but He also comes as Savior. Today, a Savior has been born to you in the city of David. And not only a Savior, but a Savior for you, for the shepherds, but also for all of us who accept Him as our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. But then, what then would He save them from? John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, when he heard about the Savior in the previous chapter, expressed that he would save them from their enemies. And then he says in Luke 1, 76 to 79, "And you, child," that is John the Baptist, "will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord," that is Jesus, "to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." John the Baptist was sent to pave the way, to prepare for the coming of Jesus, with something more than just salvation from enemies, a salvation from sin, about forgiveness of their sins through God's merciful love. Our great problem is our sin that separates us from God. It is sin and the lack of faith in Jesus that makes people lack meaning and purpose. The tragic thing is that the logical conclusion of such a worldview is that there is no meaning for why we're here. If everything is just a coincidence without purpose, then everything is meaningless. What we see in society, when God is removed, are people who have lost hope, meaning, and purpose, and consequently are left without true joy. Society is characterized by an emptiness that people try to fill with short-term, artificial joy in relationships, gadgets, trips, experiences, and so on. But the more you try to fill the void, the more you realize that it's a sinkhole, it's empty. And especially, many young people are honest and realize this. No wonder people are unhappy. But in our darkness, the light of the world, Jesus, has come to offer us salvation from our darkness to eternal joy. He who John the Baptist's father describes as the sunrise from on high has visited us to shine on those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the path of peace. The Savior, the Prince of Peace, has come to offer peace, peace with God. And if we get peace, peace with Him, we can also get peace with ourselves and others. That is why Jesus came, to save us from our darkness, from our sin, to give forgiveness, and to a wonderful eternity and peace with God. You are not here by chance. Life is not meaningless. There is a purpose. And we are offered an eternal joy that can never be taken away. In the world, we have settled for a fake, fleeting, empty joy that cannot last. We have settled for fakes, like sandcastles that will be destroyed. But there is an eternal joy. The parameters that the World Happiness Report uses reveal an empty happiness that will disappear. As long as, if we live long enough, our health will deteriorate. We can't take our possessions, our assets, with us the day we take our last breath. But the eternal joy that the angel offers is nothing that can be taken away. The joy of having been saved, of having had our sins forgiven, the joy and hope that we are on our way to eternal joy with God. When suffering ceases and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, when joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly whole. Death is not the end. For the Savior has come. There's nothing you, as a child of God, need to worry about or be afraid of. He takes care of us. The shepherds receive a sign from the angel how they can know that what they have just been told is true. Verse 12, "And this is the sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." There was certainly more than just one baby wrapped in linen cloths in Bethlehem. The unique thing was that they would find a baby lying in a manger that animals normally ate from. They would not find Jesus in a beautiful palace, in a golden bed. No, our wonderful Savior, Lord and King, was born in humility and laid in a manger. And the first to receive the news were simple people. This should give us hope. He did not come just for an elite, but for all types of people like you and me. And the birth of Jesus is not only confirmed by the angel's message that they will find Jesus in a manger. It is also confirmed by a response from heaven. Verse 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Imagine if you were there in the darkness and witnessed this in response to what the angel said, where an army of angels burst out in worship. I wonder if Handel did not have this scene in mind when he wrote his famous this song that deals with the prophecies of the Messiah, his birth, suffering, death, and resurrection, and ultimately his final victory and eternal rule. The heavenly host here confirms how God's promises have been fulfilled in joyful worship before God. This must have been the most amazing musical experience in world history that confirms the most amazing event in the world. In world history, in worship of the most amazing and wonderful person in world history, God Himself. And what did the host sing? What did the angel sing about? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men whom He loves. Such good news. We are loved without limit. God Himself became man to save sinners, to give us peace and eternal joy with Him. Isn't it incredible? Isn't it wonderful? We weren't there, but we have something far better than what the shepherds had. We have the entire Bible and are offered an understanding that they did not have and an opportunity to... and an opportunity to take in this message in a way that they could not grasp. How then did the third and last shepherds respond to this in verse 15 to 20? How should we respond? Verses 15 and 16, we see when the angels left that the shepherds, through their actions, believed and trusted what the angel had told them and went to tell about what had happened. And they become the first witnesses of the birth of Jesus. They found Mary, Joseph, and the main character, Jesus, the one the prophets had testified would come, and the one the angel had told them about, and the one the entire heavenly host had sung about. How should you relate to this? The Christian message is not a myth or a fairy tale. It gives hope and meaning. And in Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, writes in Luke 1:4, so that you know how reliable the teaching you have received is. The birth of Jesus is based in history. It is worth testing. You may be here out of tradition, or because of friends or family. Have you dared to test how reliable the message about Jesus is? The shepherds hurried to witness what the angels said. They could have stayed behind, herding the sheep, and ignoring the eternal hope and all the promises of the Bible that began to be fulfilled there and then. How about you? Dare to test. Is the Bible correct? Who is the Jesus of the Bible? Why did he come? And what does it have to do with me? Would you like to discover the Jesus of the Bible? Don't hesitate to talk to me afterwards, or one of us in the congregation would. And don't hesitate when you come home. Discover who Jesus is. Do not let yourself be satisfied with superficial, empty joy and happiness that cannot fill the void. But hurry and witness and become recipients of the eternal hope and eternal joy that endures and will never fail or disappoint you. The second thing we see in the shepherd's response is how they become the first human evangelists, the messengers of the good news, of what the birth of Jesus means. Verse 17, when they had seen it, they told what had been told them about this child. The shepherds could not remain silent. What they had seen and heard had changed them. And therefore, they told it further. The same is true for us as Christians. If we have encountered Jesus, if we've had our lives transformed by His grace and received a hope that cannot be taken away from us, then we cannot remain silent. You may not be the most eloquent, you may not be the most knowledgeable, but one thing is true, and that is that your life has been changed in the encounter with Jesus. You have what more than 50% of all young people in Sweden today say they lack. You know God and have meaning in life. You have a purpose to glorify God and rejoice in Him forever. It doesn't matter how much or how little you can. If God could use the man born blind in John 9, then He can use anyone. He was blind, and now he could see, and told everyone about this. I was blind, and that man, Jesus, made me see. And isn't that the same story we have? We were without hope, spiritually blind, and now we can see. And Jesus is the one who has done everything. You have the gospel, the good news about Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, which is God's power for salvation and transformation. So what are we waiting for? Let us go and tell this good news this day, this week, this Christmas, to people who are without purpose and meaning. During the spring, as a congregation, we will focus in our Bible study groups on helping each other and how we can grow in sharing the gospel. In verse 18 to 19, we see two different responses to what the shepherds told us. Many were amazed, but Mary kept and pondered everything in her heart. When the word for amazed is used in the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, it is often in the sense of being surprised, but without it leading to anything more. How should we then relate to the gospel? Should we just be surprised? Or, like Mary, take it to our hearts? She who gave birth to her own Savior and Lord said in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Let us not be satisfied with a brief wonder. Do not throw away the only hope that exists. Take in the good news and let it transform your heart. This leads us to the last verse and the last part of the shepherd's response in verse 20. Joyful worship. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. This is the natural response if one has met the Savior and been transformed by the message. Then it should lead to joyful worship. To rejoice that the Messiah, Savior, and Lord has come, and to join the heavenly host of angels in worship and thanksgiving to God for our salvation. Let us rejoice in our salvation by now singing, "O come, Lord, os tilbedja," which means, "O come, let us worship." Lord, we thank you that this text is no simple story. It's no myth, but it is reality. Thank you that you, Jesus, change lives, change our hearts, fill us with even greater thankfulness, help us to see what you have done for us. You, God, yourself, yeah, became a servant and submitted even to death on the cross. Every knee shall bow before you and every tongue confess that you are Lord. Pray for all of us, that we would all, in this life, would confess you to be our Lord, and we would have joy in you. Help us to have daily joy in you. Let us be changed by your nearness and your word. We long for you. Come quickly, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.